Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to ASUR's second quarter 2025 results conference call. My name is Christine, and I'll be your operator. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session toward the end of today's conference. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. If you want to withdraw your question at any time, please press star 2. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before making a selection. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. Now I'd like to turn this call over to Mr. Adolfo Castro, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Christine, and good morning, everyone. Before I begin discussing our results, let me remind you that certain statements made during the call today may constitute forward-looking statements, which are based on current management expectations and beliefs, and are subject to several risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially, including factors that may be beyond our company's control. Additional details about our second quarter 2025 results can be found in our press release, which was issued yesterday after market close, and is available on our website in the Investor Relations section. Following my presentation, I will be available for Q&A. As usual, all comparisons discussed on this call will be year-on-year figures and are expressed in Mexican pesos unless specified otherwise. During the second quarter, we served 17.7 million passengers across all airports we operate, with traffic remaining largely flat year-on-year. Once again, better performance in Colombia and Puerto Rico offset softness in Mexico. Puerto Rico was the best performing market this quarter, posting 3% growth in passenger traffic, supported by domestic traffic and sustained strength in the international traffic. In Colombia, traffic was up 1%, with international travel up 2% and domestic contracting a low single digit. Lastly, Mexico reported a decline of nearly 2% in total traffic, with an increase of 1.2% in domestic, offset by a decrease by 4.5% in international travel. International travel in Mexico continued to experience year-on-year declines from all regions during the quarter. Passenger volumes from Europe were down 4.7%, from the U.S. 5.3%, South America 2.7%, and Canada 1.6%. A meaningful portion of this decline, approximately 38%, is attributable to the ramp-up of the new airport in Tulum, which continues to draw some passenger flow previously concentrated in Cancun Airport. Beyond this shift, we believe the broader softness in the industrial traffic reflects broader market dynamics, including a more cautious demand environment and across several sorts of markets. While the underlying drivers vary, some of these pressures are also evident in other international markets as well. Looking ahead, we expect traffic in Mexico to gradually stabilize over the course of next year, as the effects of the engine-related aircraft groundings appear to have bottomed out and Tulum Airport reaches more normalized level of operations. With respect to the potential U.S. Department of Transportation restrictions on Mexican carriers, ASUR does not expect a material impact on our operations from these measures, as our exposure to the affected airlines is minimal. To put this in context, Aeromexico accounted for just 0.3% of total passengers traveling between our airports and the U.S., while Viva, Airbus, and Volaris together represented approximately 1.3%. As I've noted in prior calls, we see long-term growth potential for both Cancun and Tulum, each driven by the specific demand dynamics of their respective catchment area. While the broader macro environment remains uncertain, history has shown that travel-related disruptions, particularly those tied to U.S. and Mexico demand tend to be temporary in nature. Now, turning to a review of our financial performance, recall that all reference to revenue and cost figures exclude construction. Total revenues increased 5% year-on-year to 7.4 billion pesos, reflecting top-line growth across operations, particularly in Puerto Rico and Colombia. Mexico, which accounted for 72% of total revenues, posted a low single-digit increase of 0.7%, with relatively growth in aeronautical and non-aeronautical revenues. Puerto Rico contributed 17.7% of the total revenues, with top-line growth in the high teens. This compared to growth in the high 20s in the prior quarter that was supported by the foreign exchange rate benefit resulting from a weaker peso. Colombia, which accounted for 12% of their total revenues, posted a 15.4% top-line growth, decelerating from growth in the low 30s achieved in prior quarters. This was driven by both aeronautical and non-aeronautical revenues, which benefited from the continued recovery in domestic traffic and international traffic, and the opening of 35 new commercial spaces over the past 12 months, partially offset by a strong Mexican peso. As part of our ongoing strategy to enhance our commercial offerings, we opened 47 new commercial spaces over the last 12 months. As I said, 35 in Colombia, 7 in Mexico, 5 in Puerto Rico. This expansion supported high single-digit growth in total commercial revenues, driven by a strong performance in Colombia and Puerto Rico, and a modest increase in Mexico. On a per-passenger basis, commercial revenue reached nearly 140 pesos in the quarter, representing mid-single-digit year-on-year growth with contributions from all three regions. Colombia lead with a 22% increase, followed by 12% gain in Puerto Rico, both achieved despite less favorable exchange rates. In Mexico, commercial revenue per passenger rose nearly 3% to 159 pesos, even as passenger traffic softened. Moving on to cost, total expenses increased nearly 10% year-on-year, decelerating from the 18% growth we saw in prior quarter. In Mexico, costs rose 7%, primarily reflecting the 12% increase in minimum wage effective at the start of the year. In both Puerto Rico and Colombia, cost increase in low teens, benefiting from the appreciation of the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar and the Colombian peso. As a result, consolidated EBITDA rose slightly 2% year over year, reaching 5 billion pesos in the quarter. Notably, Puerto Rico and Colombia posted a double-digit EBITDA growth of 20% and 15% respectively, while Mexico saw a 1.6% decrease in EBITDA, in line with the passenger traffic, the negative impact of the strong peso, and the higher cost I just explained. The adjusted EBITDA margin, which excludes construction revenue, stood at nearly 68% compared with the 69% in the same quarter last year. The slight margin contraction was mainly attributable to 170 basis points decline in Mexico, while Colombia posted a more 20 basis point decrease. Puerto Rico, on the other hand, delivered a 120% margin improvement in adjusted EBITDA margin. Our bottom line this quarter was negatively impacted by a foreign exchange loss of 1,200 million pesos driven by the appreciation of the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar. This compares to a foreign exchange gain of 942 million in the same quarter last year, which reflected the opposite effect driven by the depreciation of the peso during that period. Moving on to our balance sheet, we maintain a strong cash position, closing the quarter with nearly 20 billion pesos in cash and cash equivalents, up 32% year-on-year. Net debt debt-to-EBITDA ratio increases slightly to 0.1 times, reflecting the drawdown of a loan facility in Mexico for 9.5 billion pesos in the quarter. Turning to capital allocation, reflecting our solid financial position, in May, we paid a 50 pesos per share cash dividend, funded from accounted accumulated retained earnings. In addition, we will be paying two extraordinary dividends of 15 pesos per share each in September and another one in November. Capital expenditures in the quarter totaled 1.4 billion pesos, with most of this investment directed towards modernization and expansion projects at our Mexican airports. This includes the ongoing work of the reconstruction and expansion of Terminal 1 at Cancún Airport and the terminal expansion in Oaxaca. In Puerto Rico, we're currently advancing in the construction of taxiway hotels. All construction activities continue to take place outside operational areas to ensure no disruption to airport operations. Lastly, on the governance front, during the quarter, Ms. Isabel Prieto was appointed to our board of directors as an independent member. Following the resignation, Ricardo Guajardo Touché, with this, 57% of our board is comprised of independent directors, and female representation has increased to 36%. We thank Mr. Guajardo Touché for his valuable contribution and years of service on the board. Mrs. Prieto brings a wealth of experience in both public and private sector, beginning her career in financial services. To close, our second quarter performance underscores the resilience of our diversified portfolio and our sustained focus on efficiency improvements. We continue investing in infrastructure, elevating the passenger experience, and delivering sustainable long-term growth. We also remain attentive to evolving global macroeconomic conditions and believe our healthy financial position will help to mitigate potential risk. This concludes my prepared remarks. Christine, please open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, dial in by phone and press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Please sure to mute function is turned off, and if you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Thank you. Our first question comes from a line of Jens Spiess with Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question.
Yes. Hello, Adolfo. Thank you for taking my questions. I have basically two. One is regarding non-aero revenues. So just was wondering what drove like the sequential decline in non-aero revenues. Was it mix of the type of passengers or is anything else explaining it? And secondly, I mean, you already mentioned the DOT situation with the U.S. Not impacting you, but I was thinking that maybe one outcome might be that the capacity restrictions in Mexico City might be lifted, which would end up benefiting potentially the passenger traffic in the system as a whole. What in case that materializes, how much of a positive impact would you expect? Thank you.
Thank you, Jens, and good morning. Well, in the case of non-aeronautical revenues, of course, the exchange rate played an important role during the quarter. No, I would say, of course, a slight difference in the passenger mix, international versus domestic, and also in the case of domestic, the situation that we have in Terminal 2. In terms of your second question, I don't know if you saw 30 days ago that the Mexican government decided to increase or to ease the restriction they have in Mexico City Airport from 43 to 44. This announcement explained that they have made an analysis of the airspace in Mexico City and also an analysis on the terminal buildings, and that's why they decided to increase that from 42 to 43. So one operation more in Mexico City Airport reflects more or less 1 million passenger traffic in that airport. I was expecting this restriction to be lifted towards the end of the year. I have my serious doubts that this will happen after what we saw in this announcement. So, of course, the situation of the DOT came later, and I believe the Mexican government will have to review the situation and see what is what they're going to say after what the DOT has expressed. As I said, the situation between the traffic to and from the U.S. from our airports, it's basically managed by U.S. airlines. As I said, Aeromexico is 0.3. In the case of Viva and Volaris together, 1.3%. So it's 1.6% of the total traffic between these two countries. So I do not expect any major implication of this in our case, of course, if as a result of this, the government decided to increase the operations in Mexico City, that will be beneficial to us.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, very clear. Thank you, Adolfo.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from a line of Stephen Trent with Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, Adolfo, and thanks very much for taking my question. The first, just quickly on Tulum, is it still the case that its charter traffic is still sort of the primary piece of the pie that's leaving Cancun and shifting to Tulum, or you know, are you seeing a little bit more of a tilt in commercial? Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, Adolfo, can you hear me?
Yeah, but could you repeat your question because you went out?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, I was just curious in terms of what you're seeing in Tulum Airport and the traffic impact to Cancun. Am I thinking about this correctly? It's still primarily charter traffic that's the piece that's going there, or are you seeing a little more of a shift of commercial traffic there too? Thank you.
Well, it's of course you can find some charter flights there. But basically, I would say most of these is commercial flights, basically coming from the U.S. No. A piece is coming from Mexico, but the most important region in that sense is U.S.
Got it. Appreciate that. And just a very quick question on the balance sheet. I saw there was a 1.5 billion peso investment in financial instruments in 1Q that is no longer there in 2Q, and just was curious what was sort of the rationale behind the shift. Thank you.
Well, the rationale is the huge amount of money that we have in the bank in the investment, so we decided to invest a piece of that in a fund instead of the usual instruments we have been in, just to try to get some more return for that amount of money.
Okay, let me leave it there. Very helpful. Thanks, Adolfo.
Our next question comes from a line of Guillermo Mendez with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adolfo. Good morning. Thanks for taking the time. The first question is on the follow-up on the traffic outlook. You mentioned at the beginning that you do expect some kind of normalization on Mexican traffic into next year. Just trying to understand what does it mean for the second half of this year. I understand that the base of comparison is relatively easier. So is it fair to assume that we could expect some kind of traffic growth, let's say mid-single digits, on Mexican traffic into the second half of 2025 when compared to second half of 2024? And the second question, it's on the FX impact. So you mentioned the negative impact on aeronautical revenues. Can you clarify what is the actual impact on commercial revenues during the quarter? Thank you.
Yes. Well, the domestic traffic, as you have seen in the numbers during the quarter, is no longer decreasing. It was a small increase. And basically, this is because the engine problem of Pratt & Whitney is basically bottomed out. So Volaris has expressed yesterday that they have 36 aircraft in the shop. And how can I say it? In the grounded because of the problem. Exactly. And that was exactly the same figure we saw during the first quarter. So this is the lowest part of the curve, I would say, as we can see with the numbers. From now on, we should see an increase in domestic because of this. No. That is, in my opinion, the most important situation. Of course, the situation of Mexico City helps on these, no? But as we said, there was a small increase in the restriction from 42 to 43. So from now on, everything should be better than how it was before, no? In the case of the FX in the commercial revenues, this has to do with the exchange rate activities there on one side. On the other side, it has to do with duty-free. And of course, what I have mentioned before, the situation we have in the case of Terminal 2, no? So that's why you are seeing a very soft, I would say, non-aeronautical revenues in the second quarter compared with the first quarter this year.
Maybe put in a different way, do you have high-level numbers on what is the USD exposure you have on your commercial activity?
It's not that easy because, of course, the only one that is related to U.S. dollars is duty-free, no? The other thing is the way the people expense, no? In terms of food and beverage, prices are in pesos, but that doesn't mean that the people will spend more if Mexican peso depreciates, which is not the case in the stores. In the stores, again, the prices are in pesos, no? But the people tend to spend more if the Mexican peso depreciates.
Got it. Thank you, Adolfo. Have a nice day.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from a line of Pablo Monsivais with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning, Adolfo. A follow-up on the commercial revenues question. What should we expect for the next two quarters with the situation you're naming on Terminal 2? Should we expect, again, a couple of quarters of still a soft commercial revenue activity? And my second question is, maybe to put different the question of Guilherme, what percentage of the rents that you have in your tenants at Cancun are in U.S. dollars? Thank you.
Pablo, in the case of Terminal 2, we should expect that for the next four quarters. It will be up to the third quarter next year when we will be able to open the new reconstruction and expanded Terminal 1. which should alleviate in a significant way the situation in Terminal 2. My prices, or the way that we charge in the commercial revenues, is basically a minimum guarantee payment per passenger and a percentage of the sales. Normally, what they pay to us is a percentage of their sales. And as I said before, if their sales are in pesos, in between brackets, this is pesos. But it's not the currency, the thing that explains the spend behavior has to do with the passenger worthiness of these. No? In the past, I used to say what Russian is to U.S. guys in the duty free. No, and this has to do with the passenger, not with what is there.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Pablo Ricalde with Itaú Asset Management. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, Alonso. I have two questions. The first one is on the Mexico profitability or EBITDA margin. I don't know if you can explain a little bit further what happened on the cost line. You mentioned we saw an increase in labor costs and utilities, but just wondering if maybe you register a provision or something, and that's why expenses grew that much and profitability declined that much. And how should we think of profitability in Mexico going forward? And my second question is on your balance sheet and your cash on balance. If I'm not mistaken, 60% of your cash is in USD. I just want to double-check that number.
Yes, Pablo. Well, in the case of the margin, no, and normally I don't want to, or I don't like to talk about margins because revenues and expenses are basically independent. The expenses side grew 7%, and basically because of the minimum wage increase of 12%, that's from the beginning of the year. Well, it was less than what we had in the first quarter. Well, we had to take some actions there due to the situation of the weak traffic we had during the quarter. The combination of both is what you are saying, a decrease in the margin, no? But it's something that you need to see on an independent basis, no?
Okay.
In the case of the what you're saying in the balance sheet, what was your question?
Like that, how which percentage of your cash is in USD? Trying to understand what was the FX loss of your P&L. If I'm not mistaken, around 60% of your FX is in USD, or your cash is in USD.
Yeah, in the case of Mexico, at the end of the quarter, we had $700 million in dollars.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Fernanda Recchia with BTG Pactual. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, Adolfo, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Truth here from our side as well. So the first on the dividend policy going forward, we saw that despite the payment of the first tranche, your leverage is pretty, in a pretty comfortable level. So just wondering what we can think about next year onwards, if we could expect such a good dividend payment like we saw in 2025. And second, still a follow-up on the Turun. Maybe if you could elaborate a little bit further, when do you expect this airport to reach full capacity? And when do you expect it to stop hurting Cancun's figures? Thank you.
Thank you, Fernanda. Well, in the case of dividends for next year, let's try to conclude this year first. No, we have another payment in September, another one in November. Then we will have to evaluate how was the situation for the year and the results of operations, and then next year we will propose something to the boards and then to the shareholders assembly. In the case of Tulum Airport, if we see last 12 months, Tulum Airport reached around 1.5 million passengers. If we see the last 12 months, end of December last year, it was 1.2. So there was an increase of 300,000 passengers during the first half of the year. I was expecting a better ramp up. If you go back to my first conference call of the year, I was expecting 2.9 million for this airport. No, but recent news basically showing cancellation of some routes, Bogota, Detroit, Minneapolis, and some others, basically are saying to me that this airport will not reach what I was expecting at the beginning of the year. This airport should have, roughly speaking, 2.9 million in accordance with the location this airport has. So going back to your question, one will not be hurting from these is once this airport reaches the 2.9 million. No? In the meantime, we will have to continue talking about the ramp up of Tulum.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Andres Aguirre with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, Adolfo. Thanks for the call. Wondering if you could share the rationale behind the new debt. And given your current high cash balance, how are you thinking about deployment going forward and possibilities for further leverage for CapEx? Thank you.
Hi, Andres. Well, the new debt has to do with taxes and expenses in Cancun Airport, no? We thought that it was something important for us to maintain some cash on hand for the future, given the fact that the dividend, the proposed and authorized dividend for this year is a total of 24 billion. No. So it was important to be sure that we were able to fund that situation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Abraham Fuentes with Banco Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adolfo. Good morning. We have seen a drop in the number of tourists that are visiting the U.S. Do you think that Mexico could capture any of those passengers? And if that will be the case, when do you think we can begin to see the effect in terms of traffic?
Well, this is true. There are diminishing decline from all the regions to the U.S. in terms of tourism. We have approached some Canadian airlines and talked about the situation. And basically what they're saying is that they will evaluate the situation towards the end of the year. If this continue, of course, they will jump into our region. No? For the moment, what they have expressed is that they do not want to lose their slots in their most important airports in the U.S. they have. No? Basically, I do believe that next year we will see some positive effect of this, basically from Canada and from Europe.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Enrique Soho with Fundamenta Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adolfo. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to quickly dive into international traffic dynamics in Mexico. More specifically, during this first half of the year, we have seen traffic internationally fall 7.5% in the first Q and 4% in the second Q. All of this has been happening basically with Tulum not ramping up. How do you expect international traffic to kind of continue in the second half of this year? And should we expect Tulum to basically ramp up in 2026, hence hindering growth next year? Thank you.
Well, as I said during the initial remarks, the decline, 38% of the decline of this quarter in international traffic is related to Tulum Airport. The difference is related to a weaker market from all the regions. All are negative, Canada, U.S., Europe, and South America. What to expect for the future? Let's see what the economics, on one side, macroeconomics, on the other side, all of this situation with the U.S., migration policies, and the case of South America with the situation of the visa for the Brazilians, the visa for the Peruvians, the mistreatment to Colombians. No, all of this has been analyzed by the Mexican government today, and also considering that the next year we will have some games of the World Cup in Mexico, they would have to do something about it.
Great. And just a quick follow-up, if I may. In terms of domestic passengers, we should not continue to see it falling, but do you expect a strong rebound? Do you see that when talking to Volaris and Viva Aerobus, or do you think it will be a more gradual change? Thanks.
Well, what I do expect is a better behavior, so no more decreases from the domestic, and it's likely to be in the rest of the year.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Alberto Velez with UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Adolf, thank you for taking my questions. One reminder from our side here, it's about CapEx. How should we expect the pace of CapEx deployment for the next quarter? This quarter came a little bit below what consensus and us was expecting. So how should we see the deployment of CapEx in the following quarters? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, I have to say that in the case of the CapEx, we are above our internal budget for the first half of the year, slightly above. What do we expect for the end of the year is to comply with what we have written in our MDP, roughly speaking, 7 billion pesos. Remember that most of these is spent towards the fourth quarter.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from the line of Alan Macias with Bank of America. Please proceed with your question. Alan Macias, your line is live. Our next question comes from the line of Anton Morton-Cotter with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adolfo. Thank you very much for the call. Just a quick one. I mean, aside from Cancun and in the smaller airports in Mexico, maybe like Merida or Oaxaca, we've seen some steady performance. Was just wondering what kind of dynamics are you seeing in those smaller airports and what would you expect going forward? I mean, anything interesting there?
Well, every single airport, of course, has its own situation. I would say, let me go in the case of Oaxaca, public demonstrations in Oaxaca have affected, of course, the tourism there. In the case of Merida, it's growing less than how it was before, but it's still growing. So it's doing well. In the case of Villahermosa, I would say security has affected the traffic. So each one has its own particularities. We cannot generalize all of them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Guillermo Mendez with JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, Adolfo, thanks for the follow-up. A quick one on traffic. There has been a lot of news on increasing sargassum in the Caribbean region. Is this kind of concerning in your view? Could it imply downside risk to your traffic assumptions for the second half of the year?
Well, in the case of sargassum, I have to say if we go back in history, we cannot say every 3 years, every 5 years, every 7 years, you will have sargassum in the region. The worst ever has been in 2018, but what we have seen for this year, this may be the worst ever. No, a situation that is it's very difficult. Of course, in terms of the seasonality of the year, summer is the most important. So I would say after or during the third quarter and fourth quarter, you will see less sargassum or what you will see for the summer. But yes, it's true that this year has been very tough. Situation.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from line of Fernando Recchia with BTG Pactual. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, Adolfo. No, just a quick follow-up. Could you comment a little bit on your inorganic growth opportunities that you're currently evaluating? I don't know if you have any update on Bavaro Airport. And apart from that, is there any other opportunity that you're looking at?
The case of Bavaro is still the same. We're still in the legal process of that. For the moment, the project is on hold. And yes, we are seeing some other opportunities.
Okay, and just a follow-up here. We know that CCR is under a divestment process. Is this process make sense for you? Are you looking at it?
I cannot comment on the other opportunities we're analyzing for the moment.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Alan Macias with Bank of America. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adolfo. Good morning. Thank you for the call. If you can give us some color on what's happening or what are the drivers for international traffic in Puerto Rico and Colombia. They're growing double-digit levels. And if this is sustainable for the second half of this year. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, in the case of Puerto Rico, I would say this has to do with what's happening there with concerts and everything related to music. So Puerto Rico is really hot on that one. And some international traffic are taking opportunity to go there because of that. So in the case of Colombia, basically it's the U.S.
Mr. Castro, are you still connected?
I'm connected, yes.
Okay. And Mr. Macias, was that the end of your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Federico Galassi with TRG. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Adolfo. Thank you for taking my question. Quick question in Mexican operations. I can see a jump in cost of services in terms of revenues and or year over year. The question is, if there's any one-off or this is the level that we have to think in for Mexican operation in the near future?
This is what you will should expect for the coming quarters, yes.
Okay, but it's no one off. It's 100% for the operations, actual operations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
That concludes the question and answer portion of today's conference call. I would like to turn it back over to Mr. Castro for closing remarks.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you all again for joining us today for our second quarter 2025 conference call. We wish you a good day and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes ASUR's second quarter 2025 results conference call. We would like to thank you again for your participation. You may now disconnect.